Today is February 18th. It's the 6th of Adar. And we are up to Maseches Trumos. So we've turned the corner. We've up to the second volume of the Kahati, if you will. We have to make our way to 12 such things. So we're 1/12th of the way through Shas. So Maseches Trumos is breaking new ground in Seder's Roim, because until now, we've been doing Masechtos that precede the harvest, right? Peah is where the grain is still standing in the ground, right? And then Demai has to do with various doubts of whether something is tied or not. It's interesting that Rebbe puts that so early in Zroim because it's more important to dispel doubt than anything else when it comes to these things. And I just want to remind you, this, we're learning in memory of Yosef Binyamin ben Menachem Mendel. And then we learned Maseches Kilayim, which also, of course, precedes the harvest. And then Maseches Shviyas, which there is no harvest. So now Trumos, the very first thing we need to know when harvesting our crops is that the Kohen has to be taken care of first. Okay, that's called Truma Gedola. And therefore Maseches Trumos precedes the other Masechtos later, and that will continue next week, of course. And there is a mitzvah in last week's parsha, in Parshas Mishpatim, that says Malei Achava Dimachal Lo Se'acher, which the Chazal take to mean that we are not allowed to tithe out of order. So the order is as follows: first, we take care of the Kohen, that's called Truma Gedola. Then we take care of the Levi, that's called Maaser Rishon. Then we take care of one of two other tithes, depending on the year, whether it's a Maaser Sheni year, the first, second, fourth, and fifth year of a Shemitah cycle, which we discussed last time. And there's it has its own Masechta, Maseches Maaser Sheni. And then the third and sixth year is Maaser Ani, which does not have its own Masechta, because Maseches Peah covers the law of Maaser Ani, last chapter we did some time ago. Okay, there are four types of Trumos. Truma Gedola that we give to the Kohen, that's 1/50th is the norm. The way to remember that is Trei Mea. The word Truma, this week's Parsha, has Trei Mea, 2 out of 100. Okay, so 1/50th. If we're generous, we give 1/40th. If we're stingy, we give 1/60th. The Gemara in the beginning of the second parak of Maseches Kiddushin derives from some psukim in Sefer Yecheskel, how we learn these ratios. And there are three other types of truma that have all the same rules as truma itself. As far as the halacha is concerned, there are debates about this in the Talmud, but here are the other three trumas. One is called trumas maser, which is what the Levi has to give to a Kohen also. So when I give a tenth to the Levi has to give a tenth of that to a Kohen. So basically a Kohen gets 3/100ths from the basic crops. Right, 2/100ths from the owner and 1/110th of a tenth from a Levi. All right, if the Levi preempts the Kohen and takes his share before the grain must be tithed, then he has to fix that by giving Trumas Maser from that, but it's not considered stealing from the Kohen. Because if he preempts the pile of grain before it has an obligation to be tithed, there's no obligation yet. So this is a discussion that appears very often in the Talmud. Four quick references would be whether you can bench and have a mezuman with such a Levite eating. Two, whether this type of food is muktzah on Shabbos. Three, that's Maseches Shabbos. Three is Maseches Erevin, whether you can make an Erev with such food. And four, whether you can make Maseches Pesachim, whether you can make matzah from such food. Okay, in all these instances, as long as the Levi took care of the Kohen afterwards and gave his Trumas Maser, then we say that it's not Muktzah. You can make an Erev out of it. You can bench Mezumin with it. And you can make matzah out of it. There are two other types of Truma. One is Challah, which is what we remove from a dough, in the state of dough. So that's a very late time. It's after the harvest, after you bring it home, after you process it. So challah will be very late in Seder Zeroyim. It has its own Masechta, so I won't get off on that tangent right now. And then there's another type of truma, which is bikurim, the first fruits from the seven fruits from which Israel is blessed. So grains, right? Chita Seora. Whenever the Torah says wheat and barley, the wheat always includes spelt, and the barley always includes rye and oats. And they behave similarly, the wheat and spelt, and then the other three. So we'll learn all about that much more when we learn Maseches Challah. And if you've been following the daf lately, it's also part of Maseches Pesachim discusses this earlier in the Masechta, and where the daf is now in the second and third parak. And Maseches Bikurim is its own Masechta also, so we don't have to discuss that. Those are the first fruits that we have to give to the Kohen, made from grain, and then the five fruits from which Israel is blessed, which is grapes, olives, and pomegranates, and dates, and figs. Okay, there's a discussion whether Bikurim should include other fruits, like peaches and plums, or other things that not included in what I just said, and whether wine and oil should be included. So we'll have discussion of all of that when we get up to Maseches Bikurim. So this week's parasha, of course, is called Truma also, although not really related to the Truma of the sixth Masechta in Seder Zeroyim. Although I must tell you, there's a Balaturim, an amazing Balaturim, that connects the Parsha Truma to the end of Parshas Mishpatim, which refers to the angel protecting us at night, and it connects to the first Mishnah, Maseches Brachos, that talks about the Kohen eating Truma at night. If he was in an impure state, he can only eat Truma after sunset, after Tzeis HaKochavim, after the nightfall, and if he took care of his ritual impurity during the day. Uvo HaShemesh V'Toher, and it's the beginning of Maseches Brachos, the first Mishnah in Shas, talks about, takes for granted that we know this idea that Truma has to be in a state of ritual purity. The Chiddush of the Balaturim, by the way, if you want to take a look in the beginning of the Parsha, is that all Kohanim, not just the Kohen who was Tameh, but all Kohanim, had the custom of eating Truma at night after going to the mikveh. They would not eat Truma during the day, even if they did not know of any particular impurity. Take a look there and you'll see an amazing thing. Okay, the Truma must be guarded. The Torah says it's Mishmeret Truma Si, and it has to be guarded to be stored in ritual purity. The Gemara in the Masechet Shabbos says that people used to store their Truma together with their holy books, High Kodesh for High Kodesh, holy books, holy food, let's store them together. And the books became victim to some animals or vermin that came and chewed away at the books because they were placed near food. So the rabbis made a gzera that books of Tanakh should never be stored with truma, and that they would actually defile the truma if they were placed together. This was their way of assuring that you set a separate place for your books and a separate place for your food. We didn't have like so many bookshelves like we have now. So most of the Masechta talks about misappropriating Truma, that someone who's not a Kohen that has benefit from it, and Truma that gets mixed up with other things. All right, we'll see to be sure that that's not limited to Truma, of course, Maseches Chulin, but also Maseches Orla has a lot of discussion on that. And that is what a lot, much of this Masechta is dedicated to. And while normally you need 60 times an amount in order to nullify it, when it comes to Truma, you need 100. Okay, this is also derived from Psukim in Sefer Yechezkel. And but there's one, I'll close with one chiddush of the nullification of Truma, is that if I have, let's say, a large cholent and some sour cream falls in, so as long as there's 60 times the cholent, there's the sour cream. Now, if I can find the sour cream, see some white in the cholent, of course, take it out, pull it out. But if the sour cream just melted in, and I only learned about it afterwards, and I found out about it because someone told me, or I saw it in surveillance, or whatever it is, the whole cholent becomes permitted. If you have, as long as you have 60 times the meat than the dairy part, then the whole 61 or 60 and a half parts becomes a chetzer shel heter and it becomes permitted. Right? Okay, so the same is true for truma. If one truma fig falls in with 150 or even 100 chulin figs, non-truma figs, so all 101 are now considered chulin. However, truma has a unique halacha. Because of something called gezel hashevet, you have to remove that one measure and give it to a kohen. And it becomes truma again. That one that you pull out has all the same rules as truma. Okay? If the fig was stamped with a tuff for truma and then you found it, of course you should take that one out. But in other areas of bittul, with nullification, the whole thing now becomes permitted. Right? If I had one pork meatball that mixed in with 60 other meatballs, I can eat all 61 of them. I don't have to pull one out and say, maybe that's the one that was the pork. Right? I can eat all 61 of them. Right? But when it comes to truma, you have to always pull out that which fell in and give it to some kohen. Right? Because otherwise I'm stealing from the whole shevet of the kahuna. All right. Okay. That closes out our time with Maseches Trumos. I look forward to seeing you, Amir Tzashem, on Tuesday as we continue our recording through Shas. I'll call the Seder again in memory of Yosef Binyamin Ben Menachem Mendel. Have a great day, everybody.